good evening. Good evening.
Let's find a hymnal. Turn over to number 75 on Jordan's Stormy Banks. And let's all stand together.
You're on the right track. Keep working at it and you can... No, I'm kidding. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the time that we could be gathered together tonight. Thankful for your word and thankful for these that have through the years written these songs about our journey and really living for you and, Lord, what you promised. And so, Lord, we can look forward to that time. Lord, I pray that you'd bless tonight and, Lord, have your will and way, and we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Amen. Before we get started tonight, I want Brother John to come up and say a few words.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. We did something in this church I never thought I would see happen. Besides grow the church, we started a school. And it's just an amazing thing because the kids out there in the world, I mean, there's public school, but they're not getting the education that the kids here are getting because they're learning about our precious Savior in addition to learning what they should do to be able to survive in the world. I've been in the classroom. I taught for 17 years. Every day I went in that classroom, it was a different challenge. You're in there by yourself. It doesn't matter. You can talk till you're blue in the face about the things you need and the help you need. You're in there alone. And we've got a teacher that's done that this year. She's done an amazing job. I've seen her in action. and it's not easy. And it's Teacher Appreciation Week. And we wanted to show our appreciation to Miss Katie for all the work that she's done. And I know that she will continue to do, and the efforts that she puts in every day for those children. They are blessed. We are blessed to have her as a teacher. So we have something for you. and flower.
Thank you.
Here's a card.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you.
God bless you. Would you like to say anything?
No.
Amen. We, Brother John does a lot around here too. He's here 2-3 times a week, tutoring and showing up. Brother Bob's here every week with the chapel. My wife is here sometimes doing chapel, singing, you know, the music. What kind of school do you get in the middle of the week? Am I switched over yet? In the middle of the week, so today one of the students comes back and in their pace it says, have your pastor explain the end times. I don't. Do they do that at public school? I don't know. I don't think most schools do that. It's so awesome to get to sit down, spend 30-40 minutes, and say, let me explain from, you know, what are the seven churches in Revelation? What's the rapture? The millennial reign? What is going on? It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And so praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so we're getting started. Amen. We've had a good year, and coming to the end. I'm not saying I'm glad to be at the end of the school year, but I'm glad we've finished the year, or almost there. And so it's been good. And so we're looking forward to. Already, I'm sure we'll have more for next year. I know we will. So we already have commitments for that. So we're excited. Amen. Amen. Turn to the book of Proverbs tonight. We have been in the book of Proverbs here on Wednesday nights for the past 2.5 years since I got here. It is a big book. There's a lot there. And so passing on wisdom. It's about passing on what Solomon wanted to do is give wisdom to his sons, to his son. And so the Lord wants to pass wisdom to us. Amen. And that's why we've got it written down. This isn't, you know, it may be as a personal letter to his son, but it's God has written it for us. Amen. And so we've been looking at here the past couple weeks, this will be the third one, on the voice of wisdom. And God personifies wisdom, gives a character, you know, in a person to kind of give us this, that it's more than just an idea, more than just a concept. Wisdom is more than that. Wisdom is embodied in some things here. So we're going to look at this tonight. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're still in Proverbs chapter 1, and verse, like, how did we only get to verse 24 in 2.5 years? Well, we started back. We're not starting over. We're starting back because we didn't cover everything. All right. So don't be like, well, we're ever going back over it again. No, we're covering some different things. Amen. I promise you, every time you come here, it's going to be something a little bit different. Though, if you come to church long enough, you're going to find it's all together. It's all tied together. So, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. The Bible says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Okay, we're going to stop there. I know it's kind of an incomplete sentence. I didn't finish it, but I want us to just stick to that first one. We're going to get to this a little bit. Point number one is this. Wisdom's call has been deliberately rejected. That's what we're finding here. Wisdom's call. So we've been talking about the voice of wisdom. We talked about the wisdom last week. We talked about wisdom's calling out. Wisdom had the voice of wisdom. The wisdom's call has been rejected. So we're going to talk about that tonight. What does it look like when, really, if we're going to title this, when wisdom is rejected? So what's that going to look like for us? A under there. Wisdom has made her voice known. She has called, and that's kind of what we're talking about. A, the blank is called. And so she has called. It's called out. It's calling out to us. And so, number one, but the response was a deliberate refusal. Okay? So, though there was a call, and wisdom gave a call, some instruction or some guidance or some reproof, whatever the case it is, some exhortation, when wisdom called and gave that, it was refused. Okay, the call itself was refused, not just the instruction, but even the call itself. Number two, the issue in this passage is not confusion. Okay? I want you to get that. What he's talking about here in chapter 1, it's in this portion here, it's not confusion. Well, I didn't know, right? You know, in the court of law, ignorance isn't a defense. You can't say, I didn't know, officer, that I wasn't supposed to, you know, do this or do that and the other thing. And so there's some requirements of just knowing, right? Of course, with this, where this kind of is a little bit different, this isn't a confusion, wasn't sure what to do. No, wisdom actually told and called out and said, hey, giving you some instruction, but there was a refusal. So, A, under that, there is a clear and decided unwillingness to respond. So, imagine giving someone some instructions. Not just kids, but adults. Right? I don't know, sometimes kids are... My kids were much easier to deal with when they were younger. Yeah, I told them what to do, and they did it, or there was consequence. Now, I have to ask them nicely. No, I don't ask them nicely. It's like, no, you don't. Anyway, so imagine this kind of situation where calling out to give some instructions, some guidance, and when that, and by the way, what, people that need it, which would be all of us, and there's a flat-out refusal. Just a full-out refusal, an unwillingness to respond. You say, hey, here's the answer, and the person looks at it and said, nope, I ain't going to do it. Now, we don't say it just like that. We'll do stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know that look when somebody is not planning to do anything you just said. Right? You know by that look, it's like, oh, okay. But that's what this is. It's an unwillingness to respond. B, the counsel that was given was treated as though it carried no weight or importance. So the counsel was treated as if it was no value. Look here, verse 25. Well, let's go back to 24, keep it in context here. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel. So this is the thing. It's treated, the wisdom of God is treated as it has no weight or is no importance. So, number one under that, instruction was allowed to pass by without any real consideration or change. Really, it's like this. The instruction, the guidance, the counsel was given, and it was received, we might say, in one ear, out the other. It passed by without any real consideration. He says there, it was set at naught, treated as it was nothing. And really, really what it's dealing with, there was no consideration, no change. You know, one of the things that gets frustrating in the ministry, I'm going to tell you. You want to know? Thanks for asking. Probably one of the most frustrating things in the ministry is when people need help. Right? That's not the frustrating part. We all need help. But when people need help and God directs the preaching right to their living room, right? I mean, right to their life. And they sit here And after the service, they go, Pastor, that was a good message. Really appreciate the service today. And it came in, out the other. They leave completely without even considering it for themselves, unchanged, do nothing with it. And it's not that, well, why didn't you listen to me? Not like that. That's not the frustrating part. The frustrating part is God served you up the answer and you treated it as, God serves us up the answer and we treat it as it's nothing. Oh, that's not me. Right? I am pretty good at telling other people what to do. So one thing I learned with discipleship, these kind of things, I have all the really good answers that I don't do as well. And so, but sometimes what it is I realize, sometimes it's helpful for me. Hopefully it's helpful for my wife because she needs to learn some things. I'm kidding. She knows. What happens is the frustrating part is the answer is right there for you. But when we set it at naught and we treat it like it was no value and there's no intention to consider it, you walk away. Or here's the other thing. I talk about in one ear and out the other. I've had people do this through the years. I've had people come do this. Pastor, I have this problem. They'll tell me this problem. I'm just like, I'm looking around like, I wish somebody else was here to hear this because that's literally what I just preached Sunday. And you were there. I'll say stuff like this. Remember how I just preached on that Sunday and I said this, this, and this? They're like, no, I didn't hear you say that. Now that gets frustrating on a little different plane. It's not just me. It's about here. Wisdom isn't. I'm not wisdom. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Because if I was it, you'd be in trouble. Because I don't have any. That's why when we preach the Word of God, right? It's the wisdom of God. It's so wonderful because what we find is God has the answer for us. And so what's frustrating isn't that people don't listen to me. Maybe. But not in the same way as the discouraging part is God already gave you the answer, but you refused it. So, and really is this, it really means this, it was ignored, treated as nothing. C, the rejection of wisdom reveals a heart that has no intention of submitting to what it has heard. Verse 25 again, he says, but ye have set at not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. See, this is it. You would none, which means the word would here, it's kind of a strange way that it says it there, but it means this, you didn't want any of it. You didn't want any of my reproof. By the way, this isn't the pastor. This is wisdom, right? The wisdom of God, he said, and wants to give it. And so number one, what's that? Oh, you have a. I changed mine. Let me just make sure. Oh, what happened there? Mine changed a little bit. Okay. Anyway, I have C. You didn't have C. So number one, A. Whatever. Number next. We're talking about the person. Sometimes I write this full speed, right? So what's happened, it isn't even the intention, the heart isn't even willing to be told that there is a problem. This is what becomes the problem. Oh, I did change on you. Change on yours. One is not even willing to be told that there is a problem. I did fix it. Good on me, but not on mine. Okay, so this is the problem. So the problem is this. It gets to the place that said, you would not even my reproof. So what kind of place are we at in our life when we won't let the wisdom of God give us an answer? Man, this is where we can get to the truth that the wisdom of God is going to come to us. And we say this, you know what? I don't even care. I don't want to know. You know the problem? You know what the kind of place that is? It's the kind of, I've already decided I want to be about me. I've already decided. It's not confusion anymore. It's not, oh, I'm not sure. No, it is a decide. We've come and we've decided, I don't care what God says. I'm going to keep doing it my way. I don't even want to be corrected. That's what it says. That's what that. I don't even want to be told I'm wrong. Or here's what we got today. You'll see a lot of this today. How dare you? How dare you say that to me? Right? People say stuff like that. How dare you even say something like, I'm not saved? Well, I don't think we ought to be going around telling everybody they're not saved, you know, whatever, this kind of thing. But how dare you say something like that? Wow, if it's true. I heard a guy say something this week. He said, and I don't know if it's all true, but it's a thought. He said, we ought to go through life thinking that everybody that God has set in our path, God has sent to teach us something. That sure change our outlook, wouldn't it? Because some people, I think what you come to teach me is patience. Right? And so there's some things, but maybe, I don't know. Anyway, it's just a thought. But here's the thing. They're not even willing to be told that there's a problem. Okay. Roman numeral 2, I think. Okay. Wisdom now allows the consequences to unfold. What we're about to see, now the consequences will come. Why is mine different? It happens sometimes. Probably I didn't correct it on mine well. Ha! Refreshed. Okay. That's what I like about this. It's right there. Now in real time. Now the consequences will come to you for me finding the right notes. No. Okay. Verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. That doesn't sound very nice, does it? Okay. So, A, the language, okay, and here's sometimes we read the Bible and we read into what we miss. You know, we're seeing something, but it's really this. So, A, the language is really reflecting the certainty. It's reflecting the certainty of consequences rather than the emotion of cruelty. Okay? Ha ha! Life's going bad for you. No, that's not what God says. Ha, I'm going to have a good time laughing at you and how miserable it's going to be for you. No, it really is bringing the concept. It's a laugh as in the way is it is as certain as it's going to happen. It's happening. And this is really the context of it. Number one, the warnings that were given have now become the reality that must be faced. Okay? So what's the major phrase we use in this kind of situation? That's it. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's exactly it. Told you so. Right? We say something. Listen, I'm going to tell you, Jonathan, if you do that, it's going to be this. You do that, it's going to be this. You're like, yeah, whatever is a way for saying, I would not. You know, I didn't want any, didn't care about your reproof, didn't want any of that. And then a little bit later, exactly what I said happens. And I'm like, I don't even have to say it. We don't even have to say I told you so anymore. Now it's like, and you know what he would do? And he'd be like, that's exactly what Jonathan would do too. I don't care how small. He'd be like, right? Doesn't that seem about Jonathan? And so this is kind of what's happening here. It's really the truth that's being said. Listen, what was given has now become a reality that must be faced and to be dealt with. Wisdom isn't suggestive. Wisdom isn't like, hey, if you do this, this might happen. No, thus and thus saith the Lord. It is a reality. So refusing to hear or respond doesn't take away the coming consequence. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not listening, right? Kids used to do that. I'm not listening, you know, this. I'm not listening. Whether you listen or not, it's coming. Right? It's coming. B, the moment of response has now passed. Did you get that? The moment of response has now passed, and the situation has now moved to outcome. So, okay, no. Well, you ever do this? Now, if you've been dealing with kids at all, anyway, you say, you got to do your work, you got to do this, you got to do whatever the thing is, and, you know, if you don't do this, there's going to be this consequence. And like, yeah, you know, kids have a way of wanting to push it to the very edge, right? And so finally it comes to this point, and you say, okay, now the consequence, oh, no, I'll do it, right? Then they say, I'll do it. Now they found out all of a sudden the consequence is real. So they all of a sudden change their mind. And by the way, right here's where we should say, too late. Now we're going to do the learning part of refusal. And so the time to respond is past. Now the situation has moved to outcome. Verse 27, he says, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. That's what he's saying. I'm going to laugh and mock because it's coming. It's coming. That's the thing. Number one, what was once a call to turn has now become a condition to endure. Okay? It was before it was a call to turn. Now you're going to have to deal with it. You should have listened. Here's what wisdom say. Here's what to do. By the way, wisdom doesn't start with correction. Wisdom starts with a call. Hey, here's the answer. And when we refuse, wisdom says, okay. By the way, this isn't just like one whisper and it's over. You understand? Right? This is wisdom. Praise the Lord. God screams from the mountaintop to us quite a bit. And then finally, there comes a point. It's no longer. Now it's from turning. See, we talked about that right back there. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. And that's what he was talking about back there. Turn is over now. It's too late to turn now. Now you're going to have to endure the consequences. Number two, the urgency that was ignored is now replaced with distress that cannot be avoided. You didn't listen. By the way, folks, that's how life works. God created this whole cause and effect thing. Right? Number three, the refusal of wisdom does not delay consequences. It ensures it. So the refusal, it doesn't delay it. Well, I'm going to put it back to later. No. By the refusal of wisdom actually ensures that there's going to be consequences. That's the thing. Rule number three. Wisdom is no longer responding in the same way. Okay? Things change. The relationship with wisdom changes. Look at verse 28 now. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. See, something's changing here. So, A, the same voice that was once calling out is no longer answering. See how things change? Number one, the silence reflects what has already taken place in the heart. It's reflecting, the wisdom silence is already reflecting what the decision we've already made in our heart. Number two, the search for wisdom now, watch this, okay, see what's going to happen here, verse 28, then shall they, who's the they? Well, the one that refused. Right? Verse 28. Then shall they. The they is the one that refused. But now the one that refused is going to call upon me. But I'm not going to answer, says wisdom. They, talking about the one that refused, shall seek me early. But they shall not find me. See, something, the relationship's changing now. Number two, the search for wisdom now comes out of troubles. Out of trouble rather than submission. You see how that works? I'm in trouble. God, if you get me out of this, I'll do whatever you want. People will change their... not change their heart. No. Don't. That's exactly what's not happening here. People will do whatever it takes when trouble comes. You know what they're saying? Get me out of trouble. Get me out of trouble. And God's there saying, okay, let me get you out of trouble. No. No, 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 no. No, God said, I told you how to stay out of trouble. But you did what? Refused. So now, we have to have a little discipline. So discipline is not punishment, right? We understand the difference? Punishment is what we give criminals. We put them in jail. It's not discipline, it's punishment. You committed crimes, we're going to punish you by putting you in jail and giving you nice food and TV and, you know, school, you can get a degree. Anyway, it didn't used to be like that. It used to be the chain gang. And we go back to that, we'd help. Anyway, I go. But here's the thing. When in trouble drives us to go back to wisdom, wisdom says, you ain't going to find me. You ain't going to find me then. Trouble isn't going to be the thing. Verse 29. For that they, what's that next word? Hated knowledge. And did not choose the fear of the Lord. So here's the urgency is now driven by circumstance. Not by a change of heart. Now they're all of a sudden urgent because their circumstances changed. Oh, God, help me get out of this. He said, no, because they hated knowledge over there. Oh, man, I'm telling you, folks, listen, don't miss this. We do this. We and other people do this with us, right? We hate it. I don't want the right answer until I find out what doing it my way brings. So listen, this isn't a turning to the Lord is what's happening here. This is get me out of trouble. Isn't it interesting what wisdom says will come now? I want you to grab a hold of something. I want to give you this little thought. I want you to think about something for a moment this evening, okay? When we, y'all tuned in? Don't miss this part. Because I want to apply it to us in our actual everyday kind of life. When we bail out those who refuse wisdom. Y'all with me? When we bail them out, when they refuse wisdom, this isn't in your notes yet. I got this here on my notes, but it's not in yours. When we bail out those who refuse wisdom, when their consequences come, whose side are we on? No. I'm talking about they refuse wisdom. The consequences are coming, and wisdom says, nah, you're going to have to pay the piper. You're going to have to pay a little bit. And so here we come. I'm going to help you. Whose side are we on? Are we on the Lord's side? Or are we on the refuser's side? Who do we look more like when we become an enabler? Right? We enable people to do this kind of thing. Do we look more like wisdom or more like the fool? Just a thought there. B, the reason for this condition is clearly stated in verse 30. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. I already said it, but he says it again because it's that important. Number one, knowledge was rejected even when it was available. It was rejected even when it was available. Number two, the fear of the Lord was not chosen when it was presented. And then number three, counsel and correction were consistently refused. Okay? This is what was happening. This is what's going on. If I could just make, and I got a whole other point I want to deal with this, but if I could just make this application right here. Let's be on the right side of this thing. God is trying to help people. Amen? Does God love you? He loves them too. And when God, now for me, I'll be quite honest. When I do stupid, I mean sin stupid, and I get in trouble, you know what I want? I want people to help me out of that. I do. Oh, yeah. Because I like everything to go my way. But I'm going to tell you, I've watched it enough times that if I do stupid, right, and I do sin, and I do something that's, I don't mean just, mistake. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about going against the wisdom of God. And I, you know what God wants to show me? Don't do that again. You know, I heard people say stuff like this. Well, I did it before and it worked out okay for me this time. So you know what I think I'm going to do? Again. Well, when you get yourself in a pile of muck and mire because you've made mistakes, come to me, I'll help you out again next time. So that we choose which side of that thing. Look at number four, Roman numeral 4. Life now reflects what has been chosen. Verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Ha! They're eating of the fruit of their own way. You're going to sleep in the bed that you made, right? Maybe how we'd say it. And be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Okay, the direction of life has now been settled. Okay, the direction is now settled for them. Number one, what was embraced inwardly is now being lived outwardly. Right? What they inwardly decided, now you're living it. Right? You've made this life for yourself. Now you're going to have to accept the consequence. Number two, what is being experienced is a result of the decisions that were made. Life is a series of decisions. It's what it is. Aren't you glad? I mean, us in here, we've made all the right ones all the time. You know, you and I are a product of our decisions. We are. Some of the stupidest things I've done, I'm thankful I did it back there. And I'm thankful that I had to, you know, part of me wants to say, man, I didn't have nobody to help me. Well, I would say that too. I would cry baby about it because I did want somebody to help me. Truth of the matter is, when I had to figure that out and I had to trust the Lord, and I watched God do something in my life, you know what I said? You know, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. Man, I'm thankful. So my life was a series of decisions. And all of us are like that. We're made up of that thing. So this is what he's saying. What's being experienced now, this whole situation, they eat the fruit of their own way and filled with their devices and turning away the simple slay them and the prosperity of fools destroy them. But it doesn't have to be that way. Verse 33. But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. B. The one who listens to wisdom will have a completely different outcome. See there? Okay. Let's see. Back to see what Solomon's doing. Solomon isn't telling his son, "You messed up, buddy. You messed up. You didn't listen." No, you know what he's saying? Don't mess up. Listen to wisdom. But if you don't, here's what's going to happen. This, and this. But you don't have to do that. Just listen. Just hearken unto wisdom. And you're going to dwell in safety. You say, if I always follow wisdom, does that mean I'm never going to be in trouble? I'm never going to have a problem? No, but it says this, you should be quiet from fear of evil. It means even when that stuff comes, I can be at peace in the midst of the storm when I'm with the Lord. So number one, last thing there. The dividing line between safety and destruction is found in responding to wisdom's voice. You got that easy one? Good job. Okay. Responding to wisdom. Y'all want to get out of this thing? Y'all want to get out of this life? Listen, when wisdom speaks and calls, but is not answered, what comes is not sudden, but it's the result of what's already been chosen. You're gonna reap what you sow, right? Respond while there's still opportunity to be consequence-free. We're not going to get out of all of it. We're not going to get out of all of it, but we could sure clean up our life a whole lot by listening to the Word of God. Listen, do not be so quick. And I just want to close with this. I've said this earlier. I got like 2 minutes in overtime left. Do not be so quick to rescue those that have rejected wisdom. Maybe what they are experiencing is what is needed to drive them to listen in the future. Don't handicap them. It's like going and knocking the crutch right out from underneath somebody. We wouldn't do that. I mean, that would be the cruelest of cruel, wouldn't it? If we were to... You ever seen a caterpillar turn to butterfly trying to get out of its cocoon? You ever just thought, let me go over there and help? No, they're not going to make it. Let me help them. Right? Well, it probably wouldn't be like this. It'd probably be like this. But you know what I'm saying? Let me help them. Let me get them out of there. You know, the moment you open that up, you stop them from being able to squeeze those fluids into their wings so their wings can be expanded and hardened, and then now they can fly. If you help them and open up, let me make it easier on them. You know what they do? They come out of there, boom, drop to the ground, dead because they can't fly. They needed that. Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, would you help us to see the call of wisdom, the voice of wisdom is calling us is so wonderful. And yet, Lord, there is times, and we probably each of us have found times in our life where we've refused. And maybe it's short seasons. Others dwelt longer seasons in that place. And yet, Lord, many of us have had to suffer consequences for it. Yet, Lord, tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd remind us through your word that the reality is so sure. You love us so much that you want to bring us to this understanding. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to really seek wisdom and listen when you call, that we would answer lest we find ourselves trying to dig our way out of trouble. Lord, pray that you'd have your will and way, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.